by the word. And there's a couple different senses to that. I'll explain that as we go. But I want to begin by asking you a question. What are you shaped by? As you think upon your life and you think upon the experiences you've had, you think upon what influences you, what has made you the person that you are, what has shaped you? What has shaped you to be the way that you are? Perhaps you're very aware and something immediately comes to your mind, something perhaps positive. You think of a person, a role model, a mentor who influenced your life in a certain direction. You're very thankful for that. Perhaps the immediate thought is some sort of traumatic experience or difficult time that has defined how you see the world and you experience it, how you walk through life. What has shaped you? Maybe it was something early in your life. Maybe it was recently. What has shaped you? How has your life come to have the perspective that it has? And is it the way that you want it to be? Well, as you consider that question, what are you shaped by? Let's go to the next slide here. What I want to suggest to you is that you have an embedded theology. That is, you have beliefs about God and how God operates and how your life is meant to be lived, whether you realize it or not. There's something ingrained within you that tells you how to understand the world and how to live in it, who God is. And you may not have thought of yourself as a theologian, but trust me, you have a belief about God, one way or another. Your belief might be that God doesn't exist, or that he doesn't care, he's not active in the world, but you have a belief about God. You have an embedded theology. And the way that you perceive that experience, the way that you have been shaped together, will shape how you make choices and live out in the world. Everything from your identity, who you are, to sexuality and how that impacts your life as well as the lives of others. That will affect how you see race and human value. That will affect how you approach the environment, whether it's something to be exploited and used or whether it's something to be stewarded. The way that we have been shaped affects our perspective on the world. It affects our perspective on politics and economics. What has shaped you? What has shaped you to get to this point? Whether you realize it or not, something has shaped you. Something has given you a perspective on who God is, who you are, and how the world operates. Are you aware of it? Let's go to the next slide here, in which we see Jesus speaking. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He says, "The student who is fully trained will become like the teacher." So who has shaped you? What has shaped you? Whether you realize it or not, the influences upon your life, the people that you spend time with, the thoughts that you allow to be a part of your thinking, those will bring to bear in your life to the point that they bear the fruit of you becoming like those things. Now, in this point, Jesus is speaking this as a word of caution. But it can also be true for us positively, because it's simply a fact of how the world operates, that the student will become like the teacher. So, for you, that might be a warning. The influences that you're allowing to shape your life, if they're not ones that you want to have shape your life, then be careful, because you're going to become like those things. You're going to become like your teacher. So the call that's on our life is to be intentional about which teacher, which influences we allow to shape our lives. Who shapes your life? What shapes your life? And I want to ask you a question that you will reflect on as I speak today. Are you shaped by the Word? Are you shaped by the Word? Now, there are two senses when I talk about the Word of God. As you read Scripture, as you hang around churches, you'll hear these two different senses about what the Word of God is. Let me just briefly explain that a little bit here on the next slide. The word of God, first of all, is referring to spirit. Now, we tend to hear it as the word of God in reference to scripture, but I'll explain why spirit in a few moments. The other sense of the word of God is talking about Jesus Christ. So this week, the theme of the sermon is focused on the Spirit's work, on Scripture. Next week, when we talk about being shaped by the Word, we're talking about Jesus Christ primarily. So the Spirit is our real focus today when we talk about the Word of God. I'll explain that as we go here. Now let's look at the first verse. Well, before we do that, the Word of God, let's go back to that. The Word of God is uniquely... The Word of God is uniquely inspired by God, alive and active, authoritative, and trustworthy. There's other words we could use as well. But let me just give this sort of quick sketch first, and then we'll start to break it down. So the Word of God is uniquely inspired by God. This isn't in the sense that, you know, if I was to write a song that I was inspired by something that happened or inspired by a sunset. This is a different sense, and I'll explain that in a moment. But when we say that the Word of God is inspired by God, it gives it all the other things that we're talking about. So because the Word of God is inspired by God, it means that it's alive and it's active. Because it's come from God, it has life in it. And because it's come from God, inspired by God, it has authority. Because God has authority. He's the one who created everything. He's the one who is above, over it all. And because it's coming from God, it's trustworthy. The Word of God is trustworthy because God is trustworthy. So the characteristics of the Word of God are the characteristics of God Himself because it's come from God. So with that sort of basic sketch, let's begin to explore what this is all about. On the next slide, we see 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. That's the language, but I want you to read it in another translation, the NIV. So depending which Bible you're reading from, you may have already seen this alternate. All scripture is God-breathed. Now, what does that mean? It means that when God breathes out, that's where Scripture comes from. And you say, well, thanks, that's really clear. And I want to admit to you that as I speak, some of this language is difficult and subtle, and I'm struggling to be able to articulate it well. Likewise, you'll struggle to understand it, perhaps. But let's take a moment to clarify what that means. Scripture is God-breathed. When God breathes out, God speaks, that is the Word of God. Now let me introduce you to a Hebrew word. This is the New Testament Greek, but there's this understanding that comes behind it. The Hebrew word is ruach. If you ever watched like Star Trek or something like that, like just picture a Klingon or Worf saying, ruah. There's kind of this growliness to the H. What does ruah mean? Well, it means breath. It means wind. It means spirit, both the human spirit, but also the Holy Spirit of God. And all of those things together are often meant at the same time, which can make it confusing for us if you read Hebrew and are trying to translate it or understand it. But when we talk about ruach, we're talking about God breathing out His Spirit. When God breathes, when God speaks, it's His Spirit going forth. When we talk about the Word of God, His breath, His Spirit is coming out of His mouth, what we're talking about is the Spirit of God going forth and being at work. So when I talk about Scripture, I'm talking about God speaking, His Spirit going out and doing its work in written form. So, the Word of God is God's Spirit being breathed out when He speaks, His Spirit going forth and doing what God does. Now, this is the part that could be difficult for us to understand. It's been an image that's meant to help us understand how God works, but this is different perhaps than you're used to thinking about things. But if you begin to have this understanding of what we mean when we talk about God's Word, that God's Word is His breath, His Spirit going out, that you'll be able to understand throughout the Scriptures when it refers to the Word of God, where it's not necessarily talking about Scripture, but it's talking about God speaking and doing something in His speech. And you'll also understand what Scripture is when it's the written form of what God says. So all Scripture, you're looking at your Bible, the perspective that Christians have on that is that it has come from the mouth of God and it is His Spirit at work, not in the past tense. It is alive and active because the Spirit is alive and active. We're used to thinking about a Bible as a physical object, like any other book, but what I'm trying to convey to you is that the Bible is unique. Christians believe it's different than just a book with words on a page. It is God speaking because the Spirit goes forth. And the Spirit inspired its writing, and the Spirit works with us in our reading so that we hear God speaking. And when God is speaking, God is at work and He's doing things in us. This isn't just words on a page like any other book. This is God speaking, His Spirit at work. Now look at this. You may have seen this verse many times in the past. If you've been around church any length of time, all Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. And listen to what it says Scripture is useful for. Useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Now listen to those words. Doesn't it sound like the Bible, like Scripture, is being personified there? Yes and no. The reason is because it's not that Scripture is being personified, it's that the Word of God is a person at work. It's the Holy Spirit at work. We're not personifying words on a page. We are talking about the person of the Holy Spirit working. Whenever you see Scripture, it is God speaking. And so the words that you're seeing here are rightfully descriptions of how the Holy Spirit works in your life. And we've been talking over the past series how important the Spirit is for us to live in a new way. If we want to see change in our lives, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. That's what a Christian life is. That's what the life of Jesus is. And so we've been hearing about what the Spirit does. And if you want to take some time this afternoon, read through John 14, 15, 16, where Jesus does some teaching on the Holy Spirit. And in that spot, you'll hear these very kinds of descriptions of what the Holy Spirit does. It teaches us, it guides us, it corrects us, it convicts us. And the reason that Scripture is said to be doing those things is because it is the Spirit at work. It is God speaking. So the Scripture is the Spirit of God at work in our lives. And it corrects us. The Spirit corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. God uses His Spirit to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And that's why the Scripture, the Spirit, is useful to teach us what's true and make us realize what's wrong. The Scripture and the Spirit are deeply interconnected. Now, I want to give you a little bit of an analogy, because I already know that some of you are like, okay, I'm already thinking about lunch because this is confusing me and it's over my head. And Gordon, I've never heard anybody talk like this. You're the most confusing pastor I've ever heard. And I just came today because I wanted to try it once in my life, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to understand this or it would be worthwhile coming back. Okay. Just say it because that's what you're thinking in the room. Here's an analogy. I own a business. For years, 10, 12 years, I don't know what it's been. I've owned a graphic design business that I call Cloudfire Creative. It comes from the story of Moses and how God leads the people of Israel with a pillar of cloud and fire. I've mostly used it to help churches and other ministries with graphic design because I hate it when churches look ugly. So, what? Is that wrong to say? So, when I do graphic design work, if someone were to call me on the phone and say, hello, is this Cloudfire Creative? I would say, yes. Now, Cloudfire Creative is not all that Gordon Dickinson is, but it's a part of who I am and a part of what I do. And what I produce in that is not me, but it's a part of me in a certain sense. It reflects me, my values, who I am, and how I create. And what I design will be expressed in a lot of different styles. But if you know me and you've watched my design, you'll probably begin to say, hey, I think Gordon made that. That looks like something Gordon would do. You see, that's kind of like how it is with the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. There's this interconnected relationship. The Scripture is not all that the Spirit is, but it's a part of it. It's a part of that work. And when I produce a brochure, there's something of me in that brochure. It somehow reflects who I am. And it displays the intent that I have. Likewise, the Scriptures somehow reflect who God is and the Spirit at work. But it's not the entirety of the Spirit. And so the Scriptures reflect the Spirit at work, but it's not the entirety of the Spirit's work.
Well, Gordon, that was supposed to be helpful, but I'm not sure that it is. I'm even more confused than I was before. Are you confused? I'm confused too. Now, why is he talking like that? Is that his inner monologue? What is he doing? This is really confusing. I don't know if I want to come back.
The Scripture reflects who God is because it is God at work. And so we need to understand what it is so that we treat it well, we approach it rightly, and we know what's going on when we come to the Scriptures to read. It's the Spirit of God trying to work on us. It's the Spirit of God trying to make us alive. Now listen to these words, because Jesus says this far better than I can. No surprise. John chapter 6. Jesus is speaking. He says, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Now, if you've ever read those words and struggled to wonder what that actually means, this is what Jesus is talking about. When he speaks, the words that he speaks, they are breathed out. They are the spirit at work. And there's life in them because the spirit is the source of life. The same can be said of Scripture and of the Bible that you have. It is full of spirit and life because it is the Spirit at work. Let's go to the next slide here. This is a common expression of what the Word of God is. But you'll note here in Hebrews chapter 4, it's not talking about Scripture per se. And likewise, the Word of God is described in a way that is consistent with how the Holy Spirit is described. I'm simply trying to emphasize for you that the Word of God is closely connected with the Spirit being at work. Hebrews 4, chapter 12 says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So the Word of God is alive and powerful, not because it's the Bible is a personified here in this, but because God himself, the Spirit, is alive and powerful. And that's what's going on when we approach the Scriptures, when we hear the Word of God. Let's go on to the next slide here. And what I want to begin to do here is help you understand what's going on with life. God breathed, and that's the Scriptures alive. But that same sense, ruach, sorry if you were in the front row, I probably should have been wearing my mask. God does the same thing at the very start of the Bible when he's creating people. The Lord God formed the man, humanity, from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. We are formed and created by, we are designed to be powered by the breath of God, the Spirit of God. We are designed to operate on the Spirit's power. I had a friend who got a new vehicle, and when I opened the gas tank to put some gas in, it said right on the cap what type of gas it was supposed to take, which was really helpful. I had some friends, newcomers to Canada. When they first arrived and they were able to purchase a vehicle, he went to the pump, he was boot and knees, and he was, of course, confused by everything because English is not his first language. He hadn't done this before here in Canada. And he looked at the options for gas and picked the cheapest one, which happened to be diesel. The car didn't get very far because it's not meant to run on diesel. And he had to take it to the mechanic, have it all pumped out. It was a big problem. We are meant to run on the life of the power of God's Spirit, His breath in our lungs. That's how God created people to work, to live, to be. Which is why it's so absolutely important for us to be breathing in the Spirit. Or in a way that sounds more familiar to our ears, to be reading the Scriptures. To be reading our Bibles and allowing the Spirit to be at work. So this is how God creates humans. It's how He designed us to operate. And apart from the Spirit's presence in our lives, apart from us being filled by the Spirit of God, we will feel dead and incomplete, and we will struggle. We'll always struggle in life, but there's a certain sense we have to do it alone. And we're not being fed by what we truly, truly need to live. Now, I want to take you now into the New Testament, and here we're going to go into James. And in James chapter 1, I think this is verse 18, it talks about how God makes us new when we follow Christ. Talks about how we have the possibility of a new life when we choose to trust Jesus. And this is how he describes it. God, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. How does God make us new? How does God give us a new life and a new start? He does it by breathing out, ruach, the Spirit into our lives, giving us His true Word. When we have the breath of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, we are born again. We're made alive. We're made new. That's how we are meant to live, and that's how God makes it possible for us to live in a new way as followers of Jesus, as Christians. We absolutely have to understand that. Now, just a few verses later in James, let me show you what it says next. He's now moving on to talk about that Word of God. And he says, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the Word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, there's a whole extra layer to this. You think about when this was written, several, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. Mirrors were not common like they are today. In fact, to have a mirror, you probably had to be quite wealthy. So it was a rare and special experience to be able to see yourself in the mirror. And so it was saying, if you have a special, unique opportunity to see yourself clearly, don't waste it by just walking away and forgetting what you look like. When you read the Scriptures, you have a rare and special opportunity to understand who you are and what kind of new life you can have in Jesus. Don't waste that by walking away and doing nothing about it. And so what James is reminding us of is you've been given a new start, a new life. You've been given ruach, breath, spirit. Don't waste the valuable experience you have of holding a Bible, the Word of God in written form. Don't waste that by not doing anything about it. Gaze into it. Allow it to show you who you are, but allow you to show you who God is and what life is really like. And as you do that, you will live in a new way. Don't just listen to God's word. Don't just read God's word. You must do what it says. Jesus says the same thing. Once again, even better. Let's look at the next verse. Luke 11:28. Jesus is speaking. He says, even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. If this really is God at work, if the Spirit is really doing something, we would be absolutely foolish not to respond in some way. Can you imagine what it would be like if the Queen showed up at your house and you did absolutely nothing about it? That'd be foolish. You have someone far greater than the Queen of England showing up at your house that lives on your bookshelf. You have God Himself. And you would be foolish not to listen. Not to hear, not to receive, and not to do something about what he says. Let's look at the next verse here. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus is in a confrontation with the evil one. He's being tempted by the devil. And how does he respond? How does he act in this moment? He quotes scripture. He quotes scripture in the midst of his temptation. This is something that's very helpful for us. Why? Well, it's like having a quick, that 5-hour energy drink. You need a quick burst of caffeine to try to stay awake. Well, far better, you know, having a scripture memorized is like this burst of life for you that you can recall in a moment's notice, and it allows the Spirit to quickly remind you of what is true and right and good. And so he calls upon scripture here in this moment of temptation. He's, of course, not giving in to the temptation. And he says to Satan, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, he's saying, we don't live based on the things that are right in front of us. We're not going to find real life that's lasting based on the things of this world. Yes, bread is important. Yes, your job is important. Yes, the things that you experience, the people that you know, all those things are important, but we don't live by them. What gives us life, what gives us real life that's sustaining us in the most difficult times when all of those things of the world can be stripped away, the thing that will give us a life that's eternal, that can't be taken from us, is the ruach that comes from the mouth of God, the spirit that comes from the mouth of God, the word that comes from the mouth of God. So the word of God is God's spirit at work. How do we live? We live by God's spirit within us, making us alive. Far more than bread or money or anything in this world ever could. Do you live by the Word of God? Do you live by the Spirit of God? Do you spend time in and value reading the Scriptures to hear God speaking to you? Do you value it to the extent that it shapes the choices you make and how you live? Are you shaped by the Word? Are you shaped by the Spirit, or are you allowing influences in your life to rob you of a real, lasting, whole life? Now, when I say all of this, it's because I want you to begin to understand that Scripture is deeply important to the life of anyone who wants to live in a new way, who wants to live as a follower of Jesus. You cannot live in a sustaining way without the Word of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God. It's an absolute necessity to this way of life. Your tank was meant to be filled by it. And you can't drive on anything else. So if you're not filling your tank with the Word of God, the Spirit of God that we find in the Scriptures, if you're not giving the Spirit access to your heart and mind in your time on a regular, consistent basis, you will struggle to follow Jesus. You will struggle to feel confident in your faith. And this isn't a just do this, just read your Bible and it'll all be okay. This is a reminder that God Himself wants to meet you there. This is that there is hope for you, life for you. Why would you turn away? Why would you turn away? This is a relationship, not simply dead words on a page. The Bible is not irrelevant. It's not broken and dead. It is alive because the Spirit of God is alive today and it can give you life too. You will struggle to understand the words. You will not feel always the kind of vitality and life that I'm describing to you, but it is there. When I say to my kids, eat your broccoli, it's not because they necessarily like it, but because it has nutritional value for them. There is something there that even if you don't like it, you don't feel it, you don't want it, it gives you what you need to live. And the Spirit of God alive in the Scriptures is what we need to live. And it's what we live by. So make it a priority to meet God in it. And the closing scripture that I want to read for you is Jesus speaking again. And now he's using an analogy of sheep. But it again is relevant to the conversation we've been having today. I say conversation, but I'm the only one that's talking. You've been kind of quiet. John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Do you recognize Ruach? Have you found the Spirit that gives you life? And when Jesus speaks, do you follow? It's kind of a simple question. Are you shaped by the Word? Are you shaped by that? Or is something else shaping your life? Earlier in John 10:10, Jesus said that he's come to give life and life to the full, but there's another one that comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Which teacher are you going to be like? The one who steals, kills, and destroys? Or the one who comes to give abundant life? Do you know the voice of Jesus? Are you listening to the voice of Jesus so regularly that you could spot his voice anywhere you go? Do you know the voice of Jesus so clearly? Have you heard the voice of his Spirit speaking so clearly that you know it and you follow it at a moment's notice, like a sheep would with a shepherd? See, some of us have a perspective. As I've been talking about the Spirit, you're thinking about some of the things you've heard kind of in popular, you know, understanding of the Spirit. You're thinking about all these extravagant, spectacular things like people speaking in tongues or something that seems unusual to us like that. Or you're thinking about these powerful things, the miraculous. And you know what? God's Spirit does all of those things. But that's kind of like the rare occasion. Every day, the Spirit is working and speaking and moving and giving life. In quiet, subtle ways. And when we talk about the voice of God, it's not always this loud, booming voice. It is simply this wind that is moving, touching, springing things into life. Do you know that voice? Can you recognize it when it comes? Billy Graham once said about the Spirit that I can't see the wind, but I can see the effects of the wind. It's hard for us to see the Spirit. We don't audibly hear the Spirit, perhaps. But you can recognize the effects of the Spirit, and the effect of the Spirit is life, real life. So do you listen? Do you listen to the voice of the Spirit? Do you listen to the voice of Jesus? Do you know the voice of your Father who loves you and is guiding you into whole life? And when you hear that, would you be shaped by it to the extent that you follow? And every choice you make is to follow His leading. I hope that you will. If you need a Bible, if you need help reading your Bible, if you're struggling to know the voice of God, let me know. I'd be happy to help you. I'd be happy to get you a Bible. And, you know, you might want to listen to an audio Bible if that's easier for you than reading. It might be that you read it with other people. It's one of the reasons we read scriptures out loud here today, is because there's something about it just being heard. But if you need help with that, let me know. And we can do this together. Let's pray. God, thank you that you love us so much that you want to be personally involved with us by your Spirit. And that there is something powerful there that we may have neglected to see or not understood fully before, there for us in the pages of Scripture. It is a unique book, unlike any other, where you are speaking in it. God, by your Spirit, would you make us like Jesus? Would you use the Word of God's Spirit to shape us like the Word of God, Jesus, that we might be fully formed in His likeness and represent you well in the world? May we come alive to who you are and alive in who you are, that we might live by every word that comes from your mouth, your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.